Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast. The 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partner is Physical Athletics. You can, for those of you local in the Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. All right, they are doing some cutting edge things. The director of strength and conditioning there, Coach Armando Aguilar, and his staff are doing, they are applying science to your game, and they're doing some amazing things. Make sure you look them up. You can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's FYZ ATHLETIC. And then you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, he is the head coach of the reigning, defending, newly crowned 6A UIL 6A boys state champion, Coach David Rogers. Coach Rogers, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. I'm sure everything is still spinning 100 miles an hour. You and your boys are very much in demand. So congratulations on that state title.
Extremely rewarding. You know, we feel like it's been a pretty much a four-year process, getting the regional finals, state finals, and then last year being undefeated, and then this year finally getting to close the deal.
Right, right. So, you know, you talk about the buildup, the process. It's obviously you're not an overnight success, obviously, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But talk to us a little bit. Give us, you know, before we start looking a little bit more into this season, just kind of give us a little bit of a snapshot, a little bit of a summary about you, your coaching background, and then as well as your program.
Sure. I started coaching soccer in 99 at Granbury. And my first year, I was really fortunate. It was the first year that back then there was only a 5A classification being the highest and 4 and 5A split. And so Granbury was the first team to win the 4A state title in 99. And I was an assistant coach, had a good mentor in Larry Mayo. And obviously seeing what it took to win a state championship was a big, big plus. I got a head coaching job after that year. And took on Denton Ryan. We played them in the playoffs and knew they're a playoff team. And the first year we made the playoffs there, and the second year we qualified for state. And being a second year head coach, we got strummed by South Lake Carroll and state semifinal. But it was great just qualifying, and had a lot of, you know, seasons that we were close to getting back. Knocking on the door, never did. And then I moved to the San Antonio area in 2005 to 2006 and was fortunate enough to land a job in Bernie. And we won the state championship my first year there in 2005-2006. And we ended up closing down Bernie High for remodeling and opening up Champion High School. First year we opened up Champion, we went to the regional finals, lost to Hidalgo, Great Valley team. In the regional final, felt like that team was good enough to win state, and Hidalgo actually won it, played in some windy conditions in Corpus, and they got two in with a win, and we only got one. So we felt like we were knocking on the door at Champion and won it in 2011, and then went over to Lee in 2014, and in 2014 was fortunate enough to turn a fifth place team into a district championship type team my first year. Then we were like second the next 2 years in a row, and then we made the regional finals 4 years ago. This is my seventh year there at Lee, and then we went to the state finals, lost the PKs in 2019. Last year we were undefeated in 2020, and you know, that was a team that was very, very good. It was a team that was ranked 2 in the nation, probably the best offensive team I've ever coached. Two kids got a full ride to Incarnate Word, and Francisco Segura and Wilmar Aguilar. And then Andrew Erickson got a scholarship to Kentucky. And then we had a outside back go to Harden Simmons. And that did real well down there. And then this year, everybody was like, do you have enough left in the tank to get the job done? And after graduating 6 senior starters with that group last year, we kind of have the philosophy of We've got a good nucleus back. Let's build around that. Let's add to it. And from the younger guys, and we lost the game early in the Austin showcase. We knew that we had some kids that were out with COVID. We had some kids that were out due to grades at the beginning of the year. And we got a chance to see that team that beat us 4-0 in the second round of the playoffs, Austin Vandegrift. And we beat them 4-1. And we felt like our region was probably the one of the tougher regions this year, with Clemens being undefeated and Lake Travis being undefeated, only tying each other. And we had to see both of those on our side of the bracket. So we felt like if we could get past those two teams, we felt like the state tournament would be ours to take. And the Lake Travis game was probably the tougher of the two. We went into penalty kicks with them after a 1-1 draw after overtime, and we beat them 4-3 in penalty kicks. And I truly thought that was a state championship game. Nothing to take away from the two we saw in the state tournament, but I did think Lake Travis was better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was along for the ride, covering you all a good bit for the majority of your state playoff games. And I can, you talk about, you go from Vandegrift to Clemens, you know, to Lake Travis. That's kind of a murderer's row, right? So right. just to arrive at the state tournament, I mean, said a lot, obviously. So coach, so this makes now last week's victory. This makes your third state title. Is that correct?
Yes. Third state title as a head coach, and one more as a assistant.
As an assistant. So four total. Well, you're about to start running out of fingers, man. You know, you're going to have to start getting some on the second hand there. So congrats on that. So while I do mention that, kind of a little bit of what's you guys in the talks as far as the state title ring kind of being developed right now. What's going on with that?
Sure. Yes. We're talking to a ring company right now, and we're getting some different designs going and seeing what we like, and obviously pretty excited to put our shield on the ring and, you know, our little logo there and our little mantra of refuse to lose. And I've always told kids, you got to hate losing more than you love winning. And I think our kids bought into that in our program.
They sure play like it. I'll tell you that. So coach, talk about, y'all were the last team standing at the end in a very tough, obviously 6A conference. But it was also, on top of that, it was in a very, very difficult, challenging, whatever you want to call it, season, right? From COVID and all those protocols and parameters that you had to deal with, to overcoming a major winter storm, and then a lot of games kind of compacted into a short time frame. Describe your experience as the head man, right? The leader of the entire program. Describe your experience through the season.
You know, I think our boys were really kind of self-motivated. I don't really take a lot of credit for that. I think that the boys had already seen their season strip from the year before, after being 17-0-1 and the season called short, and knew they had a chance to win a state title the year before. And, you know, we were undefeated before the winter blast and in district play. And I didn't think we were going to have any type of hiccups once we came back. And it kind of really helped us, to be honest, because we were going through some injuries, and it gave some time for legs to heal. And I think coaches kind of tend to overtrain sometimes during district play. And I really like to go as long as the length of a game, about an hour and a half, get after them pretty hard, and then do some light stretching and cool down and get them out of there. And sometimes during district play, legs get tired, and I think it was good to have a nice little break. And, we got healthy at the right time. And, you know, you talked about that gauntlet in the playoffs, and I was a little worried because we had some hamstring pulls and some ankle injuries, and we had our left winger go down, and we sat him out 4 games. And our backup keeper goes in and emerges as a starting striker. And this backup keeper was phenomenal. And I couldn't say enough about the way he played in the playoffs. And Jesus Blanco, who was sitting behind Joey Petrani, Wasn't seeing the much of goal time. So he had an opportunity to start as a forward and score a lot of big games. The Clemens game had the third goal and, you know, put constant pressure on defenses, and probably very, very fast player that a lot of people didn't see coming.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we discussed about, I mean, really all teams, not just you all, during our, you know, our four-part series that we had, teaming up with our friends over at the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable and Coach Rafa, we talked about how, you know, one of the things that I've learned in my coaching time, and as far as I've only had a chance to make it as far as a state semifinal. That's as far as I've had a chance to make it. But what you realize when you're in this long enough, and especially when you're making, you know, consistent deep runs, is that it's not enough to be obviously motivated, you know, on a mission, you know, and talented, but sometimes things just have to, you have to get a little lucky along the way, right? Certain things just break your way a little bit. You know, did you notice that in, you know, and we'll get to going, looking back in a minute, but did you notice that this year in maybe in little things versus when you looked back compared to in your mind versus 2019?
You know, honestly, I felt like the 2019 run, we weren't challenged at all in our region. And I felt like our region, we were winning, we were on the regional final 5-0. And a lot of playoff games were 4-0 at halftime. And I thought the biggest difference was our road to state was a lot tougher as far as the competition. And mainly talking about Vandegrift, Clemens, Lake Travis, seeing those guys. And then it just pushed us. And I thought that was the major difference. And, you know, we did see some injuries going through that gauntlet, but our kids are very dedicated about getting in a training room and treating their bodies right with ice baths, and even tried some cryotherapy. And man, I'd highly recommend that for athletes that have ankle injury. I couldn't believe how our player hurt his ankle really bad. The kid who scored in the Lake Travis game. And I didn't think he was going to be able to go for the state semifinal. Cause you're talking a Friday to Tuesday turnaround. And by Monday, he is practicing after going to treatment Saturday, Sunday, Monday afternoon. And he's practicing with us that Monday afternoon. And that cryotherapy is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of a must for, well, I guess we can call it that in terms of recovery, especially for high level athletes, for sure. So, so coach, we look at, you know, we go back, and one of the things, you know, here's a shout out to my buddy again there, Coach Boswell, who's been doing, you know, I know, helping you guys out, doing tremendous things, running your social media. She's a big fan of hers. One of the things in speaking with her that I mentioned to, you know, about you all was I kind of compared this season for you all was the season of redemption, right? And I kind of compared it to the parallels of, you know, for those San Antonio Spurs fans we might have out there, right? That 2013 season where they were like 26 seconds away from winning another NBA title versus Miami Heat, and then had it taken away from them. And then how they responded, right, in 2014. Sure. You know, what, you know, when you look back on that 2019, and then you basically get put on hold, the season is taken away from you all last year, and your senior class from last year doesn't get that opportunity to redeem themselves. And then now this class does it this year. What was the feeling amongst your boys? What was the feeling amongst the program when you look back on that over what was really kind of a three-season journey?
You know, probably the toughest loss in 2019, losing in the state finals. And, you know, it definitely motivated us for, you know, 2020. And our boys were hungry, ready to get at it. And then, like you said, the season's called short. You know, and we felt like the second half of district of that 2020, we started to get really healthy and really started to explode, beating top programs 10-0, 5-0. And I'm not talking about programs that are seventh or eighth in your district. I'm talking about your second place and your your third place teams. We're being 5-10-0, and I couldn't say enough about Francisco Segura, finally healthy last year, and William Aguilar, and who had gotten hurt in that state finals game. So we felt like last year was kind of the revenge tour, and got taken away, and then we made this one, I guess, the redemption tour. And you know, it was really sweet. And you know, I do have to bring up, you know, talking about losing in PKs, I wish the UIL would have a uniform decision throughout the state of Texas to allow PKs to break ties. I'm a big, you know, proponent, you know, in favor of that. You know, to me, something you try to simulate in practice and try to put in a game situation, it's really tough. And we caught again in the regional finals this year. And unfortunately, our district has been tied with it 2 years in a row and voting on them. And it's been 8-8 one year and 7-7 another year for them and we're against. And to me, it's like our district only had – we had three losses in PKs this year. And so I was a little bit nervous going in, up against Lake Travis. But I knew our keeper had a lot of experience playing 19 playoff games and losing the state finals that way. So to win the regional finals in PKs was another kind of like feather in our cap to kind of say we cross that bridge too.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, and speaking of him, you know, you talk about Joey, but is that, how do you pronounce that? Is that Petroni? How do you spell that?
Petroni. That's Petroni. Correct.
It is. Okay. Cause I've heard a few different versions, so I wasn't quite sure.
I think I butchered it for 4 years too. I was calling him Petroni the first 3 years. And so I think he prefers Petroni.
Right. All right. Hey, well, you got it done. It took you 4 years, but you got it done, right? Good job. That's right. All right. What, you know, you look back at, let's just say him, right? And obviously it's about far more than just a goalkeeper, right? And you're in that penalty situation in 2019. And he's a sophomore, right? He's in goal. And obviously it's not on him. But then when it comes down to penalties, you know, he kind of has to live with that as a goalkeeper, right? Which, and as you know, goalkeepers are just a different breed, right? A special breed, you know, to now, right? You see how, where he came from then to now, you know, what's your, you know, when you look back on it with for Joey, how he handled it, you know, what's your take on that?
You know, right away, the next season, we go to the Dallas, you know, tournament and Capel and, you know, some of the top teams in the nation there, got to coach against Brandi Chastain and actually went into PKs with her. And he won two PK games in that tournament. And to win that tournament was, you know, we saw three top teams in the nation. And I think that gave him a lot of confidence his junior year. And then, you know, obviously some more experience. And on his behalf, you know, on his defense sophomore year, the first two shooters missed and, you know, really didn't back him up. But, you know, he didn't save one either. So, you know, don't want to let him off the hook either. But I tell you what, his junior and senior year, he was absolutely amazing in PKs, stopping at least two every time we saw PKs from then on out. And to be able to stop two PKs or intimidate enough of them to hit the bar, go wide or whatever, was pretty phenomenal. And, man, he's grown as a goalkeeper and going to Coastal Carolina, I think he's going to push for the starting spot there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's tremendous. Congratulations to him as well, headed to Coastal Carolina. You know, and the thing, you know, we talked about it too on Inside Texas High School Soccer, where after that Lake Travis game, where that was kind of like a big monkey off the back kind of moment for you all, right? In terms of getting it done, you know, in a crunch situation in the state playoffs in penalties, right? Something that you guys needed to check off that checklist. Was there anything about this season that really kind of surprised you that you did not see coming besides a winter storm?
Well, you know, a lot of people didn't think we had enough left in the tank. And I think what surprised me the most was the amount of multiple goal scorers in double digits. And the fact that a lot of coaches would say, you guys were almost easier when you had Paco up top and Wilmar up top, you know, to guard and kind of defend. But, you know, you guys had so many people in double digits with Epperine and double digits and Julian Sanchez and Dante and Christian Chandler and, you know, Henry Boland and Jonathan Fascio. And it, and then we get another one with Jesus Blanco with our goalkeeper. And it was just amazing, man, to see how many kids had double digits, not only in goals, but assists. And I think they just, you know, as a product of just playing team soccer. You know, a lot of teams say, let's play simple. You know, and it's easy to say, but then everybody wants to be a superstar. This team, they really bought into 2 and 3 touch and combination play and kind of like all the little rondos we did in practice kind of, you know, spelled into that. And, man, the combination play was beautiful. And, you know, definitely somebody emerged as a hero every game. And I think that makes a complete team.
Yeah, plain, you know, plain simple. The only part about plain simple is probably is that it can be simply said, right? But doing it consistently is a very hard thing. And that was one of the things that I noticed about this year's group, your group, whenever there were moments, right, where maybe not that the game was getting away from them, but they felt like momentum was slipping a little bit at certain, those pivotal moments in a match, your boys would settle right back. They were very composed, you know,
right.
And they would settle down. They would just continue to build, connect the passes. And it was, you know, and you all were able to regain momentum. I noticed that in a couple of matches this year. So kudos to them. You've done a great job with them. And also congratulations, coach, on the, you know, the nation's number one ranking in multiple, both, United Soccer Coaches poll, as well as the top drawer soccer poll. How's the community reacting to that?
You know, I think everybody was really thrilled when we were, nominated one in the nation by United States Soccer Association. And then a few days later by Top Drawer and to be number one in the nation, you know, two very respectable polls. Right. Man, it was just kind of like icing on the cake. Really cool for them to give us that nod and, you know, proud of the boys because I really feel like they deserved it.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's great, you know, great coverage, great recognition. And speaking of coverage, coach, did you get the sense this year after what we all as a community went through, you know, soccer community in the country, but kind of a soccer community here in Texas and maybe there in San Antonio and at Lee, did you get the sense that there was after it being kind of ripped away from all of us, from you all last year, did you get the sense that there was a greater level of excitement and also maybe a higher level of just coverage, you know, around the city, around the state with high school soccer?
You know, I think there's definitely more of an appreciation from the kids as well, you know, for love of the game. And after having it stripped, I think they, you know, were a little bit more passionate this year. I felt like the media was absolutely great with the coverage. We had, you know, Fox out a couple times and Ken's 5 and, you know, yada, yada, all these, you know, news stations coming out and, you know, covering our playoff run. But, you know, when the coach says, you know, treat this practice like it may be your last, I think the boys can really relate to it a little bit more this year because, you know, that was probably just as painful last year having the season taken away as losing in the state finals and PKs. And, it, you know, you ask which one was more difficult. And, man, I almost think being undefeated and having the season taken away and not getting a chance. And, you know, I'll honestly admit, I think we were a little bit more talented last year than this year. So we knew that we had a chance to have 2 state titles in a row. And heck, if things would have went right with the PKs, it could have been 3. So yeah. We're just fortunate enough that we pulled off 1. And that really is a testament to the guys just playing as a team. And definitely not that we don't have the talent, because, you know, we talked about Joey going on playing at Coastal Carolina, and so is Henry Boland, who is the MVP of the state tournament. And, you know, I think we have a lot of other players. Jonathan Fascio going to play at Fort Hays, and You know, Dante Valencia will go on and play. He's still kind of checking out some programs, but he has two Division III offers. And, you know, we definitely think that we have some juniors that are Division I players as well, and maybe even a sophomore that is knocking on that door too.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's great to hear. And so now that, and that kind of perfectly leads me into my next question, Coach, is now you all have that target on your back, right? So now it's like everyone's kind of gunning for it. Obviously I'm going to let you enjoy it for a little while here. Right. But it's, as you know, us as coaches, the wheels start spinning after a few, you know, after a few days of, okay, what's next? What about next year? You alluded to it a little bit, but talk about your boys that are coming back. What kind of gets you amped up? What gets you excited about what you have returning?
Sure. You know, I look at Julian Sanchez, who was had the assist on the first goal and probably one of the best forwards, I think, in the country, because not only is he good offensively, but he plays defense. And unlike Ronaldo, he actually believes in defense. And, you know, some of these players that are so talented get away with not playing defense. He's someone that is on you 24/7, and he's just relentless. And I look at him and, you know, just really admire his game, think that he is nonstop hustle. And then I look at our right back who drew the penalty kick in the state final, Davis Kelly, and he is, you know, he's just a nuisance. He just gets on all over everybody, and he's, you know, so clean with the ball. And, you know, I really like defenders that are completing 90% of their passes out of the back and, you know, link up with midfield really well. And I felt like he really did that and added to the attack. So excited about those guys. And Christian Chandler, being a sophomore, is newcomer of the year. I think he's going to be a Division I talent. Giovanni Garcia, who scored on the header in the state final, he's back. He was our left back who scored a nice header from Henry Boland, and he was newcomer of the year 2 years ago, and feel like, you know, we've got a great nucleus back again, and everybody's going, well, you're graduating five or six starters, Coach. And to me, it's like, well, we did that the year before too.
Right.
And you have a solid program and kids buy into it and believe in themselves. And I think it takes a coach to be passionate and players to be passionate. I think we feed off each other, and I think they're addicted to that deep playoff run. I think they love it. I think that they come accustomed to it. And I told them, are you going to be the class to let it go? You know, are you going to be the class that, you know, doesn't get back to the regional tournament? Are you going to be the class that settles for getting knocked out in the first or second round? And to me, it's like, I welcome the target. It's been on us pretty much for 4 years. And I like high pressure during soccer season. I really am a pretty intense coach and have a lot of fun with them too. But to me, it's like, I've always performed better as an athlete under pressure. I think it brings out the best in you. So to me, if you play weak competition and in non-district play and tournaments, it's not going to benefit you. You want to try to play the best and get the best out of you. And we definitely were not the best at the beginning of the year. You know, we played some good competition in Vandegrift and Austin Westlake that really challenged us. And definitely, I think coaches that kind of pad their records and playing teams that they know they can get W's off of, I think it'll come back to haunt them as they go to the playoffs, and they'll get exposed. So I'm glad that we have a tough pre-district and a good district in itself to try to get us prepared for the playoffs.
He's Coach David Rogers, the head coach of the defending, reigning, I should say, UIL 6A boys soccer state champions, the San Antonio Lee Volunteers. Coach, you mentioned your district. Talk about, you know, the obviously not a week, not, you don't want to play a week schedule. You're not going to get better like that. 28-6A, talk to us a little bit about that and how you feel, just the quality level of the other teams in there. And sure. How you feel it makes you all better, and just your thoughts on your district.
You know, we talked about 4 years ago getting the regional tournament. We saw Reagan and we lost to them 1-0 in the regional final. So seeing your own district opponent in the regional final, you know, it kind of speaks for itself. But then we went ahead and did it the next year as well and got a little redemption that year when we went to state and saw Reagan once again in the regional final. And then Churchill hired a new coach in Justin Linthicum, who I highly respect, and it made that program even better. And they've had some state champion experiences there before in the early 2000s. They were the last, you know, San Antonio team to do it on the highest level. They did it in 2003, but he's emerged as a coach that has brought a lot of respectability to that program. And, you know, they've been the, they were the second place team in district this year, tied with Reagan, and couldn't say enough about him as a coach and, you know, how well prepared his boys are when they play us.
That's great. So, you know, we've talked about the target. We've talked about there's always a, whether it's a revenge tour, a redemption tour. Now you guys are, you know, you're the king of the castle. You're at the mountaintop. What message do you come back with them now? Now that there's, you know, there isn't, you know, it's kind of mission accomplished, check mark. What's the message you give them now to keep them hungry?
That was last year. Now everybody 0-0. Nobody cares if they're state champions once the season starts. And sure, a target's going to be on their back, and everybody's going to want to prove something. We started the year out 2 in the nation, and we kind of had that target. And we saw if you got a little complacent, what could happen. And a team thumped us 4-0. And I think that loss really motivated us. And, you know, I think it's how you handle a loss early in the season. And we changed some positions up, and, you know, I think losses are good early in the year if you learn from them. I don't really think losses are ever good if you don't ever learn anything from it. And
absolutely.
You know, I think you keep the boys motivated just by, you know, letting them remember what it took to get there and the hard work and the teamwork and the dedication. And, you know, I just know our kids' character that they're not going to lay down. And I expect us to be a deep playoff team again next year.
Well said, Coach. So, coaches, we start wrapping up here. Kind of, it's not every day that other coaches in our profession, you know, that they get to hear from a state championship coach, a coach that's been to the mountaintop, just experienced it. Obviously, you're fresh off of it from last week. Any words of wisdom? Anything, thoughts that you know, you have high school soccer coaches here listening right now? What can you share with them?
If you give an ask. Athlete an excuse to take it, he is always going to take it and take the easier road. Be hard on your athletes, be tough on your athletes. To me, they crave discipline. They crave a program that is going to be consistent and to treat everyone the same. It always bothered me as a player, you know, certain athletes were treated differently than others. And to me, you need to be almost harder on your superstars in your program than, you know, the guy that's basically carrying the water out there. And to me, absolutely. It's I think too many coaches cater to athletes nowadays. And I don't like that type of coach who's going to cater to their athlete, let them have all these earrings and long hair and everything else. If we have a discipline format, I want them to follow it. And, you know, I pride our program on being probably one of the most clean cut programs in the state. And being one of the most disciplined programs in the state. And, you know, a lot of coaches will say that later in the playoffs, your teams are just so disciplined. And to me, don't let your athletes get away with it. I think a lot of athletes nowadays always ask why. And the answer is because I said, it has to be, they know who is in charge of the program. They have to have a respect for the coach. And to me, it's, once you start bending on your rules, then you kind of let everybody else take over. And then you have an undisciplined program and you have bad habits under your program.
Right. Tough love, right? Tough love.
Yeah.
Hey, one option too, Coach, just putting it out there is, you know, great haircuts such as mine, they're an option. You know, I'm just putting it out there. So, just a thought. So,
hey, all right, Coach. I really got strict with it once my hair wouldn't grow anymore. So maybe I'm a little biased.
All right. All right, Coach. Well, hey, this has been great. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you, you know, setting aside some time out of your day to speak to us, speak to the high school soccer coaches, you know, you got college coaches listening to this as well. Any final thoughts, anything you'd like to share before we call it a day, Coach?
Sure. You know, I think the most important thing is keep your practices fresh and exciting and always keep learning, you know, steal from other coaches and pick out drills that you can use from other coaches. And, you know, I think players enjoy doing different drills and, you know, I'm not saying every day, but I think some coaches kind of get stuck in the same format and running the same thing year after year after year. And I think it's important to kind of mix it up and really make it fun for the athletes. And to me, work them hard, but, you know, they also got into this for a reason and they love the game and make them realize why they love the game by having some fun in practice as well.
Perfectly said. Absolutely. He's Coach David Rogers, head coach of the reigning UIL 6A boys soccer state champions, the San Antonio Lee Volunteers. Coach, thank you very much for your time. This has been exceptional. We appreciate it. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere as we'll be right back shortly with our head coach, Michael Strong, head coach of the UIL 4A boys state champion, Bernie Greyhounds.
Hey, thanks for having me on once again. Have a good day.